Hey, we need to start the show off with philosophy first thing on Saturday mornings. Philosophical discussion with Mr. Francis Albert Sinatra. Good morning. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Me llamo es Tomás. You know, we got stuff going on today, Mr. Man. I tell you what. Forget about the radio show. Well, no, don't completely forget about it. But we're doing, I told you last week, and you've listened to the show, and you heard all the malarkey about moving, and oh, he's tired, and what a pain in the posterior. You'll hear like nonsense. Well, this week, a little change of pace in that we are still moving and making progress, and we are at the point where we are opening the doors today at 9 a.m. with the giant technological detritus defunct yard sale, garage sale. It's indoors. Is that, you know, we don't go for this outside in the rain nonsense, cover stuff with plastic. We are indoors, Mr. Man. This is a big time operation. So Pete is opening the door. I think Pete and Maria are both going to be there, opening the doors at 9 a.m. for all the things that I have told you we might sell that we are actually selling. And things that I haven't told you anything about as of yet. We have, and it's going, we're going to do it next Saturday too, because I'm still uncovering artifacts, wonderful things that you probably couldn't live without. here's the dilemma I have. I am in the studio in Bangor, Maine. My son, Peter John, is down there in Searsport, Maine, and he doesn't want any of this stuff to linger. So I tell him one price, and he says, well, I'm going to sell it for a number that is significantly less. So, Mr. Man, I want to tell you there's going to be some deals today. Anyway, so it goes. So, you know, one thing I'll mention things as the day goes on, and we might actually hear from Pete as the day goes on. I've mentioned in the past, we've got a lot of garage door hardware. I went and bought a huge amount of garage door hardware, so I had enough garage door stuff for our new building. Well, I have extra stuff. So the extra stuff is going bye-bye. So if you need new track, I got brand new track. Boy, you come in and look at, you go in and look at it, and there's a lot of stuff we've discussed, I've mentioned on the radio that is there, and a lot of most things I have not mentioned that are there. So if you're looking for technologic, some tools, a lot of stuff that I'm like, I don't want to move this, that I want to keep, but I just can't. So, and what's happened in the past week is got more insulating done. I built... No, you don't believe this, but I built more shelves. But I built big shelves for big things like fenders and car seats and stuff. You know, usually my shelves are only a foot wide. These are big shelves. I want to tell you what. And excuse me, I've got one that's workbench height. We've got fenders and stuff on, and I've got fender liners, which are plastic things that go in under the fender. Got those underneath it on the floor. And then up 8 feet, I've got another area. And I'm looking at that, and it's 3 feet by 8 feet, and it's up 8 feet in the air. I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, you know, if I had a foam pad up there and maybe a blanket, I could just hang there. Nobody would find me. I could put a little parapet-type thing around it. And they say, I don't know where Tom went. That's something that is in the works mentally. Philosophically speaking, as it were. So anyway, that's all good stuff and happening. We'll talk more about it after 9 o'clock when Pete opens the doors. But it's 423 East Main Street in Searsport. It's Route 1. And there'll be a sign out front that says moving sale. A sign is made. And we'll be out there in front of the Priuses. So that's good. What else? I check the news in the morning when I come in here. Because if there's some wonderful thing that's gone on, you should know about it. Well, I don't know if you heard this one thing. Some guy somewhere, some scientist, wanted to do some testing of brain cells in pigs' heads, dead pigs that have been slaughtered, you know, for food, and discovered that if he got some stuff going to the pig's head, circulating and getting oxygen to it, the cells started working again. Well, that conjures up every science fiction movie I've ever watched that has a head that's not attached to a body. Very interesting, and just nobody's corroborated the study yet, but I'm sure they will. And I guess there's a lot of ethical aspects, even doing this with pigs, as you might imagine. And one I hadn't thought of is if you were to reanimate an animal's head, does the animal feel pain? Ooh, that's interesting. Anyway, so that was interesting. But the more importantly, came across this one. There's a knee bone that had all but disappeared in human beings, called the fabella, F-A-B-E-L-L-A. And it's making a return to the human knee. And this has happened in the past century. It has gone away a century ago, and it's coming back. Who'd have thunk it? And it has something to do with arthritis. It's not a good thing. But it's nonetheless, it's happening. And you heard it here second. You didn't hear it here first, but it was the second thing. Anyway, we're going to take a break. It's 8:15. I didn't give out the phone numbers yet. It's 1-800-966-1039 is the phone number for this radio broadcast center here in Bangor, Maine. The text line is 601-207-4478. If you'd like to give me a call or a text, you can do whatever you want. It's Saturday morning. It's hot and cold. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back. It's 8:21. It's hot and cold. Saturday morning. The phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. If you'd like to call in this morning or text, shy people, don't deny yourself input. Text line 601-207-4478. What else we got? We're moving to, and we are literally down to the wire now with a little over a week to go. And we don't move until it's official that the state of Maine says it's okay for my license, but the plan is to mostly have everything out end of the month, which is what, a week and a half. And I've been putting it off because it's such a miserable job, but we have an office building there, a little building we're using as an office. We've used as an office, and it's just a mess. And the reason it's a mess is for a couple reasons. The guy who built it was an idiot, and I don't mind saying that. I say that with the utmost respect, but they poured a slab, and the slab wasn't quite the right size, and it was a little bit too big. So rather than build the building to the edge of the slab, they put the building on top of the slab, which meant that rainwater sits on the edge of the slab and gets in underneath the sills and rotted out one of the sills. Additionally, the inside was covered with masonite paneling. If you took the masonite paneling off and took out the 3.5 inches of fiberglass in the 2x4 wall, some of the stud cavities, we find ants. Nice. I don't believe they're carpenter ants, but they're ants. Ants ain't good. So we finally gutted the entire building on Thursday. I had a friend come help, and the building is emptied of stuff, and we started to re-insulate. We treated where the ants were. All the wiring. One of the things that has unnerved me about the previous owner who built these buildings was he wired them. And I've seen enough stuff that scared me that I just took out all the wiring. And any new wiring will be surface mount. Nothing. Everything is just cut and is gone. It's removed and is gone. So the wall cavity is unencumbered by anything in the wall cavity other than insulation and framing. And what we're going to do is a couple of things to try to make this building as heatable as possible, as affordable as possible. So we're cutting and fitting foam into the wall cavity, 3.5 inches of foam. It's 2x4 wall. And, you know, we don't cut the foam exactly, so there's usually a little bit of a gap. So we're foaming each piece that goes in. It's not a big building. It's like 22 by 16, something like that. So we're doing that. Then we're just half of the building will be storage. The other half will be finished. But for now, we're just putting OSB up on the walls because I hate sheetrock. And OSB can maybe look semi-finished while we finish up the office. We're not going to have it finished by the time we move in, but we would need to have it presentable at least. So we're just OSBing the walls. On the outside of the building, there's T111. We're going to, it took some ciphering on my part to figure this out, but at the bottom of the wall, we're going to, and I've done this before, we're going to take a 2x4 pressure treated and screw it into the sill of the building so it's perpendicular, but it's horizontal. On top of that, we're covering the walls with 2 3/4-inch foam. And then on top of that, we will strap with 3/4-inch strapping. So 2 3/4-inch and 3/4-inch strapping gives you 3.5 inches. The 3.5-inch 2x at the bottom of the wall cavity is to keep critters from getting up into the foam. Also, it's pressure treated. It'll overhang the building a little bit, which is fine. It's not a big problem with that. There's enough eave to accommodate that. And then we're going to put cedar shingles on the building. The only holdup on this whole scheme or plan is there's two windows there that are old aluminum framed double insulated glass, and the seal has failed in the glass. So those windows are going to come out. I've been shopping around, and I knew I forgot something this morning. I was going to swing over Home Depot and just peek at their windows, and I didn't do it. I've got windows in my shop, which, by the way, at 9 o'clock will be available for you to purchase. I've got a bunch of brand-new vinyl windows, not big enough for what I want over in Stockton. But, excuse me, all new. And there's got to be 8 or 10 at least, still wrapped, various sizes, various configurations. So, so we're going to replace those two windows, and we'll at least get the front of the building shingled, and then we'll do the rest after we move in. So we will, as I say, wrap the entire building with an additional 2.5 inches of foam. So if you got 3 inches in the wall, let's call that R20. And then you've got another 2 3/4 on the outside. What do we call that? R9, let's call it R18. We got our R38 shell. Not bad. We'll put in new windows, which will be smaller than what's there. Hopefully they'll be low-E gas filled, which what's there are not. And what's there presently are aluminum frames, so they tend to be fairly conductive and not real energy efficient. But the other thing we're going to do is the building is sitting on this slab. As I sit here on Saturday morning at 8:27, I am positive the slab is not insulated. So we will do what we did in the other building, which is a house on the property, and put down a vapor barrier on top of the slab, and then put down probably 1.5 or 2 inches of foam right on top of the slab, no framing or anything. And then on top of that, we'll probably put a tongue and groove Advantech or plywood. So now we've got a thermal break to the floor. Oh, and I've been at, you know, we used to operate out of this building. And that floor was not the most comfortable thing to be on just because it was concrete. It was also cold in the wintertime. So now the office space will be completely insulated with smaller window, much better R value. The attic is already done. And it's filled with cellulose. So the only thing we'll do there is top off a little bit where there is a chimney for a wood stove that's coming out. And the plan was to put a pellet stove in there. I'm not sure we need it. So the pellet stoves, plural, that we have in our old shop are probably available as well. We'll see. But for now, I think we're just going to heat with electric. excuse me, and I think we're also going to put some photovoltaics on the roof and maybe just be completely off the grid on that building. Where that's a little bit down the road. I got time to think about that. So that was the antics this week. Other than Sunday, I banged out enough insulation in the our primary building that I've got 16 more pieces of 4-foot by 4-foot foam to put up, and I'm done. So that's we've got, I think, 13 of the 16 pieces over there. It's just waiting for me to have the time to put them up. And then we can clear out all the insulation that's in the shop, and a lot of the wood can get stowed, and we can now in earnest bring in a lot of the move-in stuff, of which if you saw the space, and I think, you know what, let me just look this up real quick here. I think Maria put up some pictures. I gave her some pictures of the whole operation of the building. And I'm going to check it there. I'm going to tell you what, rather than look it up right at this moment, let me do this. Let me take the break, and I will check during the break, and I will report to you if they are up and where they are. And you can see what I've been talking about for the past 4 months. It's hot and cold. It's Saturday morning. It's 8:30. I'm Tom, and we'll be right back. Hey, we're back. It's 8:36. It's hot and cold. It's Saturday morning. Good morning. Wake up. Get the coffee going. You're not done with the coffee yet? Come on. Goodness. It's phone numbers we give at 1-800-966-1039. We got text. No text yet this morning at 601-207-4478. Just want to tell you about my friend Alan over General Appliance in Brewer. Center Street in Brewer, as a matter of fact. They open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. If you're looking for appliance parts or service, used appliances, recycled appliances, rebuilt appliances, refurbished appliances, gas appliances, composting toilets, parts and service, fix it yourself. Oh, my goodness. 989-4341 is that number. That phone number you need to remember, 989-4341. It is so simple. You can remember that. I know you can. I trust you. I know you'll want that number just to save money. So, General Appliance, Center Street and Brewer. Don't miss them. Let's go. Oh, that guy's still playing the saxophone. All right, let's go. I'm trying to find out where the pictures are, if they've been put up on the internet or not. I can't find them. So I've got to text into Maria. We're going to find out this morning. By Godfrey. Let's go to the phones in the meantime. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey.
I can make this a short question or a long question. First, I can definitely vouch for Dave at General Appliance. Great guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, the short question would be, can the hammer arrestor on a washing machine water line go bad and cause your PEX tubing to start vibrating?
Oh, God. I think it's possible, because the hammer arrestor is basically just an air chamber, and it's feasible that it could get full of water instead of having a little bit of an air lock up above.
Yeah.
So this is a screw-in one?
It looks like it would screw in and out, or yeah. At least I could take the whole thing off and replace it.
Well, I don't think you necessarily have to replace it. It's just an empty tube, basically, that if you take it off, you turn the water off, take it off and drain it, just dump the water out, put it back on again, and see if that solves the issue.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't have a fitting on it that you can get a wrench on, but if I can get a hold of it, I guess
okay.
I can turn it.
Well, maybe it needs to be. I'll be honest, I never put one on. I usually like watching the pipes do the shake around.
Well, I mean, we redid all the plumbing in this house about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. used PEX.
Yep.
And I hear this rattling downstairs. Mm. No water's running anywhere.
Yep.
I go down, I can see that cold water line rattling.
Yeah.
So I added clamps to it where I can.
Sure.
Well, now I still hear the rattling, but I can't see the pipe rattling because now it's, I think, rattling inside the wall.
Nice.
I assume it's still the same pipe.
Yep.
But anyway, I'll try that.
Yeah. Okay. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. All right, so let's see. We got a text here from Maria. Let's see. No, I couldn't get them to download on my email account. We'll put them in on a drive and get them up this morning. She's going to be there at the yard sale in 21 minutes, or she'll be fashionably late. We'll see. And by the way, and some apologies to the folks who got all excited about the Purple Heart. How many weeks ago was that? I mentioned it. I've got the Purple Heart out for those of you who are looking. I think there were three or four pieces of it. There's a piece of some kind of Brazilian mahogany that is at least 2 inches thick, maybe 6 wide, but it's like 16 or 18 feet long. It's a big hunk of wood. So we've got that there as well. I showed Pete how to identify, which is Purple Heart. This is rough sawn lumber, so it looks like old wood, but it is Purple Heart. And so he knows where it is. it was hidden. So we got it out, though. So it is there. For those of you who are all anxious about getting some big pieces of wood, we got them. Let's see. We got some text messages. I sound extremely alert this morning. I'd venture to say I've got it together, a new brand of coffee, perhaps. No, I don't think so. I've been running on adrenaline for about 3 weeks now, and yeah, I'm going to crash when we're done. I'm just at that place. I may just get up in that place I created and sleep for a week. Some of them are shaped like a baseball, have a bladder that go bad. I assume that's about, we're discussing, water hammer arresters. And thank you. That's true. I'm visualizing the kind are about the size of your index finger. They're just a long, narrow tube. Those have no bladder inside of them, but it could be. If it is the baseball size one, it could be the bladder went. And we got a phone call. My goodness. All right, right back to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, Tom. I got a house that had burned down, and it sits, it's going to be rebuilt. It sits up on ledge, and the septic down to the leaching field, there's about a 20-foot grade difference, so it goes down instead of pumping up.
Mm-hmm.
In between there, I want to kind of have some storage space and, you know, kind of frame it up for a garage. I can run that pipe, that sewer pipe internally, can I? Opposed to what, is this covered by sand now where, you know, I want to put that structure? That shouldn't be an issue, should it?
I'm not sure. You want to run the sewer pipe through the garage?
Yeah, because it would take up that space, you know, where the garage is going to sit. The grade's a lot lower because it drops right off the ledge, but there's that accessible point there.
Mm.
Kind of come around the backside, if that makes any sense.
Kind of. I guess I not having the luxury of seeing this, I'd want to maybe run it by run it by the code guy just to make sure. My biggest concern would be if depends on the grade, is the possibility of it freezing up over the winter. It would be a gradual kind of thing where, you know, it'd probably work fine, but if it was really cold out and you had some really slow flows of water through the system, it could build up an ice lens inside that pipe and fetch at that point. Being in the ground, it's not exposed to the quite as drastic a temperature swing. So, if it's 20 below above grade, below grade, even a foot or so, it may be 20 above. It's still below freezing, but it's 40 degrees warmer.
Could that be wrapped with like a heat tape or something, or like heavily insulated?
That would be an option. I'd want to check with your code guy to see what he or she would say. But I think the short answer is yes, you could do it. The longer answer is just a matter of making sure that it doesn't freeze on you.
Okay, that's what I figured. We're in the same wavelength there, so I figured there could be a capability. Winter remains a pleasure. So.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Speaking of winter in Maine, it's just so pleasant to walk out of the house at between 4:30 and 5:30 in the morning this morning, and the sun is out. It's not out, but it's daylight. It's light enough. I didn't need a flashlight to see where I was going or have to click the button for the car. So that was nice. You take the small things where you can get them. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. We got the text line, which is 601-207-4478. And just in case you missed it, we're having a big yard sale down at my business today and next Saturday. Assuming there's enough stuff for next Saturday, I assume there will be, because we're uncovering more things as we do the archaeological dig. I've only been in the building about 7 or 8 years. And I know you find this hard to believe. that I would accumulate that much stuff. I know you. You said, you know, gosh, Tom, you're so you seem so organized, and so tidy. Especially if you come into my shop. Gosh, it's so tidy. He just doesn't seem like that kind of guy. But anyway, a lot of stuff that, you know, you say, well, you know, I might need that, is going bye-bye. We haven't got everything out yet. There is more to discover. So next weekend, there will still be, I'm sure, some dregs. But we've got some dollies. I queued this up just for this purpose. I've got some dollies in the background. It's two dollies. We didn't put them out yesterday, but I told Pete we got to get the dollies out because I got to play the song. All right, thank you, Lewis. The other, you know, you find it's hard to believe I cue up music. Why would he cue up music for talking about a? Big yard sale. Yeah, big yard sale on Saturday morning. I so seldom have the opportunity to play that, so. If you're looking for garage door parts, including, we got panels. We do have garage door panels, some insulated, some not, different sizes. It's all got to go, man. It's all got to go. Any of it is going to stay around. Excuse me. It doesn't take much to keep me entertained on Saturday morning. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. I will be there later in the day as well. Tom in Sangerville says he can see the motorcycle in the snow. I guess that is a good sign. I was talking to Clint, who used to be on Down East Dickerers. I saw him at the car auction a week ago. And he was telling me he had bought a Charlie MacArthur's old mill in Sangerville, and he's going to set up some hydro there. And, he's one of these guys, I guess, like me, you know, we'll do that in our spare time. Speaking of alternative energy, you know, I told you we're going to run the shop off a PV panel and some batteries. I ordered a sine wave inverter, which came in on Monday. It came in on now for me getting the sine wave inverter, because I have the batteries, I have the panel. I haven't touched it all week. I've just been, it's driving me, it's transcended driving me crazy because I'm already there. But the, it's sitting on a shelf, man. It's got a positive and negative. I have to hook up to, even though I just hooked up to the battery. And the photovoltaic panel has a built-in charge control. So this is the hookup. Okay, two wires from the panel to the battery. Two wires from the battery to the inverter. You plug it in and off you go. I haven't done it. I can't do it. I just have too many other things going. It's driving me nuts. And I get to a point where end of the day, which is anywhere from 4 to 7 p.m., I just have to, I say, okay, I got to pack it in. I'm just, but it will maybe. Maybe next week. Maybe we got to get it hooked up. We got to disconnect the extension cord, and get that going. And put the lights up too. We've got more lights up now than we did a week ago, but they're all in temporary places. So we're getting to the final steps. And I apologize for my daughter, who is probably listening right now, for not having gotten my pictures up, but she tried, I'm sure, and she was running yesterday. So we will have them up probably within the half hour, and I will let you know as soon as I get the text message and where they are. And what else we got going on here? I'm just looking to see if I've got any other important stuff. I don't see it. For those of you who try to text to our 800 number at my business, and I'm thinking of you, Chuck, nobody sees that but me. So don't send me texts and think that I get them. I do, but nobody else does. So if you're trying to reach Peter or Maria at work on Saturday morning, they don't get those texts. And I can't forward them because I'm doing a radio show. So let's see. What else we got? That's pretty much it. I'm done. Okay. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. We got the text 601-207-4478. We've got, if you're interested, we've got some lithium batteries there that I make no promises about. I don't know anything about the disposition, but if you want to play with lithium batteries and there's enough there to do some real damage, those are there as well. And I'm hoping he doesn't sell my tables. I built these tables for different odds and ends, and I'm thinking we're going to keep them for a while. But if he sells the tables, I guess it's okay. We got a break coming up, so we'll head out into the sunset here in just a moment. But we'll have some updates for you next hour as to what we're having at the yard sale this week. And when the time comes after we have the soft opening at the new place, we are going to do this radio program from that location. And I was thinking we probably will live time it on Facebook as well. If we're down there in Searsport, which would be kind of fun. Let's see. Will you be able to take credit cards at the yard sale? Absolutely. This is a big time operation. You know, you think you're dealing with some amateur? Yeah. Yes, we can take credit cards. Even Discover and American Express. How about that, huh? So, if you've got that, you've got the credit on the card, I just want you to come and feel free to spend, as much as you would like. And I'm sure there's going to be I am not exaggerating when I tell you that my son Peter wants to get rid of everything and doesn't want anything left. And I have to kind of reel him in a little bit, say, you know what, I do have to get something for this thing. Oh, one thing, I've got a minute here or two before I'm going to break, but one thing I've got that I have not used, I've used a little bit, is a vacuum dent puller. I've got a vacuum pump and a big suction cup thingy hooks to the vacuum pump. It's on a slide hammer that allows you to pop dents out. Shallow dents, not big dents, but it does work to some degree. And we're selling it for way less than the value of the vacuum pump, which means you get the dent puller for free. How do we do this in staying business? I don't know. Anyway, let's see what we got. There are times when we need to relive the past. And do we have, we can't do that yet. Okay. I got something queued up here that I think is pretty decent. What else have I got here? I've gone through all my notes. I told you about the ants in the walls. That was exciting. You know, it was cold last Sunday. I started taking this wall apart, and the ants are slow moving in the cold weather, as most insects, most people are too, for that matter. And looking around the shop, I didn't have any ant spray or anything. I found I had some permethrin wasp spray, which is basically permethrin is a synthetic extract of chrysanthemums, which works well for insects and is pretty benign to humans. So they got hit with the wasp spray, and guess what? It worked. So the ants are all gone to the antly reward. Anyway, Andy and Briscoe have a little bit of a conversation here, and I think we can probably get over to them and see what they have to say. So let's just hit that button right there. Hey, we're back. It's hour number two with a big radio thing that happens on Saturday mornings. They call it the hot and the cold. I'm Tom, and our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. That's 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478 if you would like to text or call in. And I got to get Mr. Tom in the background here. Yeah. It's official. It started 7 minutes ago. Pete is over there at the Prius store. That's where it is. Yeah, we're moving. In case you haven't heard, you know, it's funny. Every so often, I meet somebody say, "Yeah, I listen to you on the radio," and you still doing the show? Yeah, well, when did you last listen? Well, it was 5 years ago. Yeah, I'm still doing the show. So if you haven't listened in the past 3 months. We are in the process of moving our business a quarter mile down the street to bigger, better situation and better adapted for what we do, which is many different things. And we are digging out technological stuff, tools, and a lot of other odd things that you might imagine only I would come up with. Plumbing bits, tool bits, electric car bits. You just have to go look at it. I can't tell you more than that. It's 423 East Main Street in Searsport. And there's a sign out front that says move and sale. It'll change your life. It will. So this garage door stuff there is, as I said last hour, the exotic hardwoods that I claimed I had about a month and a half ago, I've actually found. I was kind of overwhelmed by the response, having mentioned it on the radio. The power of this radio broadcast on Saturday mornings is just boggling. And I after everybody called, I'm thinking, where the heck did I put that stuff? I had little pieces. I didn't have the big stuff, and I knew the big stuff's what I wanted to get rid of and what folks were interested in. So we found all that and have it available this morning. So I don't think that'll last very long. It's Purple Heart and also some Brazilian mahogany-like wood that is a huge piece of lumber, at least long piece of lumber. It's heavy. Here at the radio station, we have the phone number, which is 1-800-966-1039, because we do that kind of thing. And we have the text line 601-207-4478. And at this moment in time, at 9:09, we have no phone calls. We have no text messages. And, I could just tell you about the yard sale. Obviously, we talk a lot about building construction and how to make buildings efficient and the rest. And the person that is sort of at the forefront of this in deciphering building failures and what not to do and what which begets what you should do to make the building work properly is a guy by the name of Joe Steebrook. He's Canadian. He works out of the Boston area, has a business called the Building Science Corporation. And if you have the time, you want to get on YouTube and probably put in building science, because spelling his last name, it just kind of blew my mind the first time I saw his last name. I'm going to spell it for you. Steebrook. How would you expect to spell that? Well, it isn't the way you expect unless you've seen it in writing. But I'll spell it nonetheless just for fill some time. It's L as in Larry, S as in Sam, I as in Iota, T as in Thomas. Stee, you get that right? Okay. Burek, Joe Steebrook. And if you are interested in building construction and you have doubts about what I tell you, or you want more meat and potatoes of what I describe here in terms of how you do a building, get on YouTube. You know, you can get online and look up stuff, but the reading is pretty dry. There's a lot of his stuff is online, and you can read if you prefer to read print, it is much more palatable and a lot more fun to watch the videos because the guy's got a great sense of humor and will give you little pithy anecdotes that you will remember that'll stick in your head better than reading some dry data in terms of how buildings go on or how they work. And, of course, also I offer basically what he says. I got a text here from Tom Dapp at Sangerville. No one ever realizes how much stuff we have until it's time to move it. You, amen, brother. I knew it was there. I walk in the back room and I look at the shelves and I'm like, and of course, I've just kept building shelves for these months. And last weekend, was it last weekend? No, it was the beginning of the week. I had I had a bunch of shelves I had built in our shop where we are now that I've taken down and brought over intact as shelves and put them back up on the wall, which saves some time. And they're getting pretty much filled up, which, you know, it's not all the shelving that I had in the old shop, but it was a lot what I had built myself. I have regular shelves, you know, cabinets and stuff. Matter of fact, we got shelving for sale too. And it just, you know, it fills up quickly. So the fact that I built probably 20 times more shelves than what I had built in the building we're in now says something. But the probably the biggest part of it is just organizing stuff, you know, and that's been a important thing is to have the room to just separate out Prius parts, Prius computers, Prius body parts, Honda Element parts I seem to have a lot of, and then other cars that might be hybrids that I have to lay hands on occasion. Let's see, got a question here. What do you think of the zinc air battery technology NANT? Energy is producing them 600 miles per charge at $100 per kilowatt. Tesla's going to be first to use. I don't know. I've heard of zinc air batteries. I've yet to see them where I can, get some and try them. You know, $100 per kilowatt, a car like electric car like the, I'll give you an example. We have a plug-in Prius hybrid. It's got a 4 kilowatt, electric car battery. That 4 kilowatts gets you down the road 10 or 11 miles, maybe 12 miles. So if you're doing something like a Tesla that claims a 300-mile range, you need what? A lot more capacity. 20 times? So you need 80. I think Tesla's 85 kilowatt hours of capacity. So 85 times 100, right? Yeah. Is $8,500. That's a cheap date, and the I've seen it, and a lot of other folks have seen it who have messed with electric cars. The cost of lithium batteries, which are not probably going to be the end all and be all, have dropped precipitously as the marketplace reaches some kind of critical mass. So that'll make a big difference in terms of the cost of battery technology and also driving. Less expensive technology. But I'll be honest, I haven't looked much. I've read about zinc air in the past. I haven't paid much attention to them lately just because there's, until I see it in the mainstream, I like to see Tesla doing something with it, and then we'll read about it, and we'll see what the results are. We're going to take a break. It is 9:15. It's the Voice of Maine. It's hot and cold. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Them Crazy Cats on a 9:19 on the Saturday morning. It's the hot and cold. My name is Tom, and I'm here to entertain you in any way possible. A little bit of Thin Lizzy in the background there. That is what you call some rock and roll right there. Let's see. We got some phone calls coming in. Let's take this one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom.
Hi. How are you doing?
I like that Andy Griffith guitar thing there. That was nice.
Yeah.
Well, he was amazing, wasn't he?
He was.
The most everybody listening this morning, I'm sure, has never seen the trolley car electric grid 100 years ago. That was amazing technology we were using.
Mm.
You know, we could do that again. Put an electric strip on the roads and get the power that way.
Well, they do it. You know, it's something they do in Europe. I mean, they're still doing it. It's not it's just updated cars. And the infrastructure, right. I'm sure, has been upgraded, but it's...
I mean, it was 100 years ago, wasn't
it? It was.
Trolley cars?
Yep.
I mean, a lot of people don't know that even Maine, probably hundreds of miles of track.
Yeah.
All over the state.
Yeah.
Did you ever try one way back? Was there one, anything running?
No, no, I'm not that old. Yeah. But
I don't know, but I mean, Massachusetts or something.
No, no. The thing is, when they dig up like on Harlow Street or downtown Bangor, those trolley tracks are still there. And, you know, if you look in places, certain European cities, they've got updated versions with the electric. I don't know if they're all overhead wire or not. I don't think they are. I have to tell you, quick sidebar to that. Probably 15, 20 years ago, I was buying every antique electric car book I could find on eBay. You know, so like a 1911 Milburn Electric user manual that came with the car, stuff like that. And they were cheap at that point. So I buy this one book called The Electric Car. It was 1909. I get this little black book. It's, I don't know, 6 inches by 4 inches, something, you know, maybe an inch thick. And I'm looking through it, and I'm looking at it. It wasn't electric cars. It was electric trolley cars. It had the wiring diagrams for electric trolley cars. And really, electric cars and of that vintage and electric trolley cars were extremely similar. Obviously, electric trolley cars are a lot bigger and a lot heavier and has bigger motors and more stuff. But they're basically the same thing. I still have the book, I believe. I was looking through a drive that I had in my shop the other day and trying to see what was, you know, if there's anything that I needed to save on it. And I had scanned all these books like I had nothing else to do, apparently. And I scanned these books into the computer so I would have them, because some of them I sold off because they became valuable. I still do have a number of them, which is part of the move. Like, what am I doing with all these books? And I have a fairly large library of books from Professor Hill as well. And the last year of his life, he made me come up, wanted me to come up, and I went up several times. And harvested as many books from his library as I felt comfortable with it. And he called me. He said, Tom, come get some more books. And so I've got more thermodynamics books and other books, some great history books and things that he had. You know, great mementos, if you will. I want to mention that a couple of things. One is Pete called me during the break, so he's going to call back in. I have a feeling he's kind of busy, but he will call in and keep us posted as to what's going on at the big yard sale that we're having today down in Searsport on Route 1, where we're moving, and there's a lot of stuff that's going by. By the way, if you're interested, I have an electric car up on the Craigslist. I think it's $1,300 or something like that. Actually belongs to a customer. And somebody emailed me yesterday and made an offer. And so offers are accepted. And I told them, you know, I'll accept your offer, but you got to get it out this weekend. So I haven't heard back. But it's, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. The electric cars up to probably the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, were all DC powered. They used batteries, of course, as they do now. And batteries, of course, are DC. So the simple thing was to run the car on DC power. Apparently, I'll claim complete ignorance about this, AC motors are less expensive to manufacture than DC motors. They require less maintenance. But you don't get AC power out of anything other than the grid. You plug it in, you get AC power, you can run a motor. We run sawmills, we run computers, which run on DC anyway. But long story short, at some point, the electronics technology improved to the point where you could invert or change DC power to AC power. And if you are at all familiar with sawmills and heavy industrial electronics, three-phase motors are the norm. They're more efficient. What we use in our house is single-phase power. Industrial applications use three-phase power, and I'm not going to explain it here. I understand it to the point that I could probably try to explain it, but when I... When I was in engineering school, I was studying electrical engineering, and we got into three-phase power. And unfortunately, that was in sync with a time when but two things were going on. One, I'm dyslexic. Two, there was a lot of parties. So there's a lot going on with three-phase power that gives you a lot more efficiency. We'll leave it at that. And any electric car that is AC powered is usually three-phase. And the Toyota Prius, those electric motors are AC three-phase motors. The first electric cars that were AC powered were three-phase as well. And those all work more efficiently, and the electronics allow you to take DC power, convert it to AC, and run efficiently. And what that also does is it allows the automobile to recycle energy. So when you go to brake, when you go to slow the car down, you move that energy back into the batteries and you recycle a high percentage of the energy that would normally go to just chewing up brake pads, becomes electrical power and goes back into the battery for use, reuse. It's not 100% efficient. Nothing is, but it is, it gives you a more durable automobile that doesn't require maintenance. DC motors always required brush changes, and they last a long time, but they do need to be changed from time to time. And it's not a big deal to do, but it was a consumable. And so between the efficiency and the ability to not have to change brushes, AC kind of took over. And this whole long-winded thing has to do with the fact that the car that I have in the shop that we have for sale belongs to a customer was one of the first AC electric cars. And it basically is the same thing that is you're seeing in Priuses, you're seeing in electric cars today. They just happen to be in maybe a little bit more compact packages, but very durable. This is a 1994 automobile. It's a chassis is a 1994 Geo Metro with 34,000 miles on it. And I bought it from University of Massachusetts down in Springfield. And the reason it got sold was it had lead acid batteries, and the kids would use the cars on campus and would never plug it in to recharge the battery. So they would just eat up batteries, which is unfortunate. And the thing now is that back when I started fooling around with electric cars, you were using lead acid batteries. Today in 1992 and 2019, we're using lithium batteries, which are one quarter of the weight. So that means that car goes four times further, or you have one quarter of the size battery pack. And if that is an expensive deal in terms of the size of the battery pack, you saved a lot of money. So lithium batteries are not $100 a kilowatt, but, depending if you shop them, they're not crazy, not that far off compared to probably 5 years ago. They were $2,000 to $5,000 a kilowatt. So anyway, I'll tell you what, let's take a break. I've killed the radio show. I've done. Oh, my goodness. We got all these text messages. Oh, man, I missed all the text. Well, we'll come back. We'll do the text messages. But first, we have a word from our sponsor. It's right here. All right. It's 9:35. We're back. It's hot and cold Saturday morning with the Beach Boys on the radio. I always thought that song was Bobberan. What's a Bobberan? And then I saw it in print, and I felt really stupid. Anyway, we got on the secret third phone line here, and he is very excited to be calling in on this line. Is my son Peter, who is down at the big moving sale.
Good morning.
Good morning on the Prius store. Good morning, Pete. How's it going?
Not too bad. I tell you, I pulled in this morning. It looked like Black Friday at Sears and Roebuck. I swear, the line was 80 people deep. The police had cordoned off the area. They were fighting and clawing to get in here.
They were probably fighting over those TVs, right?
TVs. We got TVs?
Yeah. Well, no. We do upstairs. We got the one leaning against the printer. By the way, the printer is available, too.
Nobody wants the printer. Nobody wants the printer. Just throw it away.
Pete.
No, there's nobody here. There's nobody here. I'm just standing around a pile of Sanford and Son looking stuff. I'm trying to put price tags on it, but it's all so dusty, they keep falling off.
Well, they just write it in the dust. I mean, come on, Pete. Be inventive.
But I tell you, I mean, if you've got a shop, and in your shop you put things that you might need someday, those are the sort of things we're selling here.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, you come down here and you look and you might say, well, look at these giant circuit breakers, right?
Yeah.
I don't need them right now, but I might need them someday.
Pete, thank you.
$10 a pop.
I forgot about those giant circuit breakers. Those are DC circuit breakers. I mean, they're big. They'll do.
Tell me more.
They'll do hundreds of watts, 100 amps, excuse me. Yeah. Wow. And also some microinverters and photovoltaics. I speak to you and all these things just come flooding back, so.
I know.
And what about the dollies? Did you bring those down?
I didn't bring the dollies down yet because they don't seem particularly interesting or desirable, but I'll bring them down if you want me to. I did bring the big clock down.
There's a little bit of Lewis talking about the dollies. Okay.
All right, it's talk radio. Stop with the music.
No. We got to have the music. That's what sells the whole thing, you know? It's a jingle.
You know what I've got in my hand?
What do you got?
$5.
$5?
It's a big clock like you would see in a school.
Yeah.
And it plugs into the wall with some sort of pecular wires. So you can get this and you can put this up in your house and upset your kids.
Well, let me explain.
Watching it go slow.
I texted Pete about this clock because we had a number of them. The clock is a school clock, and it works two ways. There's three wires in the back.
I think it's a plug with four wires.
Okay, so but it shows a wiring diagram. You can put power to the motor, and it shows which wires go to the motor, or you can go to a solenoid, because you remember in school it would go clunk, and it would go, you know, it wasn't a linear movement in that it just kind of went from point A to point B. It would go in one-minute increments, and it would, you know, you're kind of waiting for that last minute before the teacher calls on you to get out of class. So you can use it either way. And that's $5, yep. Pete? Oh, my goodness.
That's $5.
Wow.
This is good radio where we're talking about how the school clock works.
Well, people want to understand
this. You know what else I've got here?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go salesman on you. I've got a 12-inch table saw.
I know. Yeah.
It's $150. It's worth every penny. It's seen very little stress with us. We use it to cut some insulation, but it made too big a mess, so it's just sort of sat ever since. But it works good.
It's got extra blades.
If you're a woodworker, I don't know where you're going to find a 12-inch table saw for less. That's on a dolly. I'll give you the dolly with it.
Well, wait a minute. You know what Lewis would say?
Yeah, dolly. Okay.
Okay.
You're getting some mileage out of
it. I am.
What about these kerosene heaters? We've got two kerosene heaters.
Oh, that's right. You see, I'm forgetting. I was trying to write down notes this morning of what was there, and I was drawing a blank because there's so much good stuff.
If you live in a shack in the woods and you need heat, these kerosene heaters are perfect. You just got to make sure you open a window so you don't asphyxiate.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, I'm going to let you go because we're coming up on. I got some phone calls and text messages I have to deal with.
Okay, so you got like real people calling.
I have real people to talk to. But if you need to talk to me, you know where to call me in. Pete is calling in on the same line that the governor calls in on. So
I know. This is the governor line. Nobody else gets to use this. Everybody calling in right now is getting a busy signal.
Yeah.
I could literally hang up and call back and get through.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I'll sell you the number if you want to stop by.
No. We're not giving that number out. All right. Thank you,
okay.
Pete. Talk to you later.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Yeah. Bye. Okay. Number two, son, Pete. All right. Let's go over to line one. Good morning. You're on The Voice of Maine.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to follow up on something. I heard you guys got dolls?
We have what?
What kind of dolls you keep?
No, dollies.
No, dolls. I heard
no dolls. Dollies.
I'm a doll collector. Do you okay. have any of those?
I have no dolls. I have dolly.
We're just messing with you.
I know you are, but hey, wait a minute. I don't need an excuse to play Louis Armstrong, okay? So I appreciate that.
Lovely.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a good day.
I don't play with dolls. What are you talking about? All right, Louis. When I was a kid, I tried to imitate him, and you know. Anyway, I hate to cut off Louis Armstrong. That's like a sin. We got a bunch of text messages. Let's go down through them because we're going to run out of time here. Good morning, Tom. Wondering if you have any insight on hot water heaters. I have some. We have an old farmhouse with a cold basement. Currently use a hot water heater. However, we may need to move the oil heater, and cost will be $1,200 to tie into a different chimney. Wonder if there be anything that would be more efficient. We use a lot of hot water. Presently, 4 adults, 2 teens, 3 younger kids. Holy mackerel. Take showers, do laundry, etc. Any thoughts on the most efficient way to go? Thanks for any insight. You got enough going on there that you there's two schools of thought here. One is you get an instantaneous, say, propane, or if you have natural gas water heater, hang it on the wall. You get all the hot water you ever want, and you can get one that direct vents. You don't need to hook to a chimney. It'll just direct vent out the wall. Give you hot water as long as you got gas to run it, and it's efficient. So the downside to that is that you get all the hot water you want, teenagers stay in there for an hour, 45 minutes, and they're going to have a hot shower for an hour, 45 minutes. The other end of the spectrum is an electric water heater is 40 gallons, and your teenager gets in there and takes a shower, and if it's a second teenager, they've got about a 10-minute window before they run out of hot water, and the thing will take some period of time to recycle itself. I lean towards the latter as opposed to the former. The tankless are great. And where there are 4 adults, it's a question of cost. But if you're running an older oil boiler or an older oil water heater, you will actually probably save money, even if gas tends to be a little bit more expensive. So that's where I would probably wind up. But being contrarian, I would consider the electric water heater just to teach everybody conservation. We've got a text here from Jim down in South Bristol. Good morning, Jim. Question about heat pump water heater. Do they make a heat pump unit without a tank? Thinking about adding it onto my system. Have a good use indirect I would like to use. Currently have an indirect off my oil boiler. It's tied in series with 80-gallon stainless direct to a solar panel. I know you were working on one for a while. Something similar to the geyser is what I'm looking for. The geyser was a great unit, and that would be what you need. They're not making them anymore. I have to look, Jim. I might have. In the process of moving, I think I've got a couple that we're going to take out. I know I've got a couple on the floor. Give me a call during the week. I think I can conjure one up for you. Or I'll call you one way or the other. We'll get in touch. Another text message. Hi, Tom. Use an LP water heater as backup for a wood stove attached to a boiler made for hot water. Okay, LP boiler as a backup for wood stove attached to boiler. Okay. On a timer, so it runs once a day. No change in hot water use. Runtime has increased 30%. I know exactly what's going on. This is from Tom and Morrill. Boiler mates are great things, but over time they tend to get build up on the heat exchanger inside the tank. Stuff from the domestic water precipitates out on that heat exchanger, and the efficiency drops off because it is not as effective. So what you need to do is remove that top connection. This is a fun project. You need to shut the water off, drain the tank, remove the top connection from the tank, which is like a union-type connector, and then wash down that coil. There's a coil that is vertically inside the middle of that. It's a fin coil, and the fins are very good at attracting crud. Dick Hill worked up a scheme where he made a sprayer to get down in there. You could probably do it with a power washer or a really strong garden sprayer, but you've got to get the crud off of that heat exchanger. The runtime, I'm not sure you're necessarily losing a lot of efficiency, but you are certainly using some. All right, we got another text here. We need Pete when hot and cold with you. He's quick. He is quick. I give him that. That's because he's younger. He's half my age, and he still has blood going to his brain. I'll buy the table saw. You take cards over the phone. You got to call Pete at 888-866-8970. All right, and we've got 45 minutes. We got 15 minutes left. Let me go over to here. Maria says that the pictures of the building are up on hotandcold.tv. So let's just scroll down and see. There's banjo pictures. If we go to about, she didn't say where on hotandcold.tv. Maria, I'm not seeing them. Is it under links? Let me just double check my photos have been uploaded to hotandcold.tv. And I am not seeing any of it. So I will have to, I don't know if we're, I would check the hotandcold.tv website at some point today just to see when she gets the pictures up because I'm not seeing them right now. I trust they're there. Maybe they're not where they're supposed to be. Oh, there they are. Oh, it just took a while to load. Oh, okay. You go to right to the first page, and you'll see me and a picture of Luna the Wonder Dog. And then underneath, you will see a sequence of photos, starting with 2 inches of ice on the slab and us trying. There's a picture of Pete there trying to melt the ice with a big torch, which didn't work. And then we used ice melt, which is not a good thing, but we had to do it. And then my buddy's putting up the walls down to the final picture, which shows a fairly current photo of the inside of the building with a lot of shelves. And that's not all the shelves. That's just some of the shelves. So we will keep that updated as time goes on. After all these many months, we finally have pictures. Thank you, Maria, if you're listening. I will text her when I get off the radio. Our phone number in the meantime is 1-800-966-1039. Text is 601-207-4478 if you'd like to call in this Saturday morning. One of the dilemmas in having Pete on Hot and Cold with me is that he's down there selling Priuses, hopefully, on Saturday mornings or running the yard sale. So, I could tell this story, can I? I don't think he'll be upset with me. Pete, my son, God love him, is going to adopt a 12-year-old cat. And I want to tell you, he's having to jump through the hoops to get the approval to adopt this 12-year-old cat. Now, this poor guy has, not Pete the cat, has been in shelter for a long time. You know, people don't adopt old cats. And I have to say, I'm extraordinarily proud of my son for doing that. It's cool. Anyway, back over to line one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, I have a three-season camp that won't be heated in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
I've insulated the ceiling. I'm getting ready to do down along the knee wall. What kind of vapor barrier am I going to need, or does it not matter because it's not going to be heated in the winter?
I don't think it's real critical to have a vapor barrier in this case, but if I was doing it and I wanted a vapor barrier, I'd be having are you drywalling it or are you having wood on the inside?
It's just kind of an attic. It will be a sleeping area for kids, so I am going to cover the insulation right now.
Okay.
The unfaced side is towards the roof part, and the foil face is towards the inside.
I would put some polyethylene plastic over that. Before you, especially if you're not sheathing it right away, just to keep the, you tend to get fibers tinkling down. If it's a sleeping loft, you at least want to protect folks from that. And I would get as thick a polyethylene as you can get. 6 mil is what a lot of folks use. 10 is probably better and really doesn't cost that much.
And what would you recommend to just put a light covering? And I wouldn't need the polyethylene if I put up like some sort of...
If you were putting up a sheetrock or... the sheetrock can function similar to the polyethylene. If you're putting up wood, you want to put the poly up first.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, again, this is for a three season, not for a year-round building. We want to try to minimize the amount of moisture that's coming up through. Let's see. We got more text messages here. Good for Pete. Good for the kitty. Yes, people do adopt all cats. And like I said, I'm really proud he's doing that. What I'm fascinated by is the amount of the degree of oversight that the shelter has before they will release this animal, which I understand and I appreciate. It's just like I would like to see it expedite to some degree. I mean, they check, and actually I have checked with them as well, same shelter, about a dog at one time, and we've got approved, but it was the dog was gone by the time. So we've been watching. We had two geriatric dogs in 2000. Let me get the year right now. 2004. Excuse me, that we lost within 6 months of each other, and it's been tough. I mean, what's that, 15 years ago? You know, it's just like, do I want to go through this again? Well, yeah, I kind of do at this point. You know, it's, dogs and cats are such great companions. So just waiting for the right one. Let's see. Did you say you had a couple used geysers? No, I don't have geysers. I have some other units. I've got to see what we've got. I'm not ready to take them out yet, but I know I've got one or two that I'm not that have never been put in that I'm sure have some kind of problem. Otherwise, they would have been sold. And then I've got one we used for testing purposes, which worked. And I've got another. I probably should keep one for myself still. But and we've got one we use for heating the hot water in our shop at this point. So one of those has got to stay for me. So there might be as many as two or three available. Not positive disposition of all of them, but we'll probably price them accordingly. That's okay. So that covers all the text messages. We got nothing else. Let's do this. We got a minute or so left. Let me see if I can. We can check in with Pete. See if we can get him on the phone for the last minute. This is good radio right here. Hey, hang on. Okay, I got you back on the air, Pete. People have been requesting you. They say you add something to the program.
That I do. I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
Well, since I last spoke to you,
yes?
No one has come in.
It's the big sale. Wait a minute. What's the power of my audience here?
I know. Well, I put the sign out because one guy from the campground, from Searsport Shores, he stopped in to bust my chops because the sign wasn't out yet. So I put the sign out. And I figured you know what's going to happen is we're going to get people that are going to pull in thinking like it's a proper yard sale or a moving sale.
Yeah.
And they're going to do that thing that everybody does at a yard sale when you go in and you know immediately there's nothing you want, but you don't want to look weird by turning around and walking right back out. So you just sort of casually, slowly, not stopping at all, you walk by all the tables and pretend to look at stuff. You're just staring blankly, wondering if the person running it is watching you, and then you go back out to your car and drive away.
Can we try to induce people to steal things?
I'm going to count. If people want to steal things, I will go into the other room. I'll close the door. Get the stuff out of here.
Oh, please. I've had enough. Oh, okay. Well, I figured I'd give you the last word of the program just because you're there.
How about some tires? I got tires with good tread, $15 each.
Those are good tires.
Here's the thing.
If you can come in and root through them and pick them out, don't call me and ask me what sizes they are. If I got four of them that match, I've got probably two that match of certain kinds. But
we have threes. Not, you know, we have the tires in threes, but they're they are and a lot of them go to Camry type cars, and some are studded, some are not. But they're, you know, a lot of times when you buy used tires, there's always something stupid. There's a little spot that's all screwed up. These are not like that. These are really nice. Yeah. We got some of them from Bruce.
These are probably the best $15 tires in the state of Maine. I feel comfortable saying that. I've got three of them on steel wheels. Those are $40 each because they got the steel wheels with them. So if you have a car that has one wheel on it and one tire, and the other three are just hubs, I've got you covered. You know?
Oh,
come on,
man.
By.
How do we do it and stay in business? I just don't know. All right, Pete, you ready for this?
I'm going to be disappointed. What?
All right, I'm going to turn up the music because we're out of time.
Okay.
I'll see you in a while. Thanks, Pete.
What music are you going to play for 10 minutes as you go out?
I've only got 30 seconds, pal. Got to go.
All right.
See ya.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
And you be good out there. Happy Easter, everybody. We'll see you next week.